We're getting to the end of the liturgical year, and we're in this month of November where we reflect a lot on the end times and the last things, life after death. And so it's fitting that we hear in our first reading from the last Old Testament prophet, Malachi. Malachi was written sometime around the Babylonian exile. As we know, the chosen people had been unfaithful to the covenant, and they were conquered by the Babylonians in the 500s BC and hauled off to exile in Babylon. Eventually, the exiles returned to Jerusalem, and the book of Malachi seems to be directed to these exiles who've come back. And the prophet is speaking in this book about the idolatry, the divorce and mixed marriages with foreign peoples, the corruption of the priests, lack of generosity and tithing, and the judgment of the righteous and the wicked. We hear the end of the book of Malachi today, towards the end, where he prophesies, "Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven. Then all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays." The day is coming. Malachi speaks of this mysterious day of the Lord. We hear about it in other prophetic books as well. This day of the Lord, a day of punishment, of wrath, of judgment. It's often thought that this day of the Lord is referring to the end of the world. But it seems, not what Malachi is talking about. There is a day when evil and evildoers will be stubble. In other words, a day when sin will be obliterated. It talks about a day that'll bring about healing, and subsequently that will set the world on fire. So what exactly is this day of the Lord that's being referred to here in Malachi? It's been thought of since the early church fathers, since the early church, as the day of crucifixion. The day of Christ's crucifixion. When Jesus, the Son of Justice, takes upon himself all of the evil and sin and corruption, he makes himself a curse and he dies. And what happens afterwards? He rises from the dead, he ascends into heaven, and then fire comes down upon the earth at Pentecost. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The psalm we hear today is also singing about this mystery of Christ, about his paschal mystery, his passion, death, and resurrection and ascension. It's celebrating Christ's enthronement at the right hand of the Father, which we'll celebrate next Sunday in particular, Christ the King. Sing praise to the Lord with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord. For he comes to rule the earth. How does our Lord come to rule the earth? He comes in poverty, actually. He comes as a servant, as a slave, He chooses to be born in a manger. A mystery that we're, of course, going to be preparing to celebrate very soon. But the psalm says, the Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. This psalm is already anticipating the day of the Lord, which Malachi prophesies. The salvation, it's looking forward to the salvation that the King will bring, the Son of Justice, Jesus Christ. And that kind of brings us to the gospel today. This end of the world discourse that Jesus launches into. We kind of have this scene where the people are walking around admiring the temple, kind of like what people do when they enter St. Andrew's. Kind of walk around, look up, wow, how beautiful. How beautiful this is. And Jesus is like, yep, but the days will come when it's all going to be destroyed. Not one stone will lay upon another. That probably got their attention. What? What do you mean? And then Jesus launches into this discourse in which he prophesies the destruction of the temple 40 years later in 70 AD. As well as speaking about his own second coming. And finally, he's prophesying, I think as well, about the day of the Lord. Just days later, when he is going to go to the cross and be crucified. He's saying, in effect, on that day, when I go to the cross, he's hinting at this, when I go to the cross, it's going to be the long foretold day of the Lord. I will take everything upon myself. I'll take all suffering, all sin, all evil upon myself on that day when I go to Calvary, and I'll bring about reconciliation with God. I'll bring about healing. My healing rays will shine upon the world. Jesus himself, again, he is the temple that's going to be destroyed. His body, he is the new temple. But as was also foretold elsewhere, in 3 days that temple would be rebuilt. He will rise, and he'll come again in glory one day. But in the meantime, he's telling his disciples, Christians will have to bear hatred. Christians will have to suffer persecution. Because in our desire for our neighbor's good, for their salvation, Christians will not simply comply with lifestyles and beliefs that we know to be false, to be harmful, to be contrary to God's will. We experience that to this day. And we know that it's inevitably going to bring hatred upon us. The world's going to hate us for that. But Jesus encourages us at the same time, and he says, not a hair on your head will be destroyed. Notice he's not saying that Christians will not suffer physical harm. Of course, we know that can happen. But he's saying, not a hair on your head will be destroyed. It's like he's already hinting at the resurrection from the dead. That he's pointing us to the resurrection, that ultimately no lasting damage will affect the Christian because his or her entire body will be raised, will be restored at the resurrection on the last day. So, you know, let's pray in this Mass in light of all of these readings today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to send his fire down upon us and the gift of fortitude. We're going to need that gift of perseverance, of fortitude in today, to endure the persecution that's brewing for us in this culture. We're going to need the Holy Spirit in order to remain faithful to the end and receive our bodies at the resurrection without a single hair missing.